Right, good morning. You know, we're so glad, me and my wife are so happy to be in New Zealand. And we want to honor just Pastor Richard, Chrissy, Taolu, and Rowena just for the leadership. Obviously, Bernhard, you know, all the team here. But we're just so blessed to be here. You know, your nation is so beautiful. No wonder so many Malaysians want to come here. Okay, we were here. When I arrived, Pastor Richard was telling me that welcome to the promised land. And you know this is a promised land when you taste your ice cream, milk and honey. Okay, just in case you don't get that, okay, but milk and honey is kind of combined together. In fact, that revelation came from my wife when we were visiting Israel and we were on this Bible study tour. And we were just touring all the place and looking at all the different geographical thoughts and biblical thoughts and trying to piece that together. And when she bought the ice cream, she was on the bus. As she was eating the ice cream, the revelation came, milk and honey, promised land. The ice cream is so good, okay? And so I learned that. She's the best theologian. That's the way she interprets the Bible. Anyway, I was here not just for the conference, but on Sunday I spoke at Pastor Richard's church, and on Monday we went to scout a church, potential church plant. We went to Hobbiton. And if God is, you know, they were looking for a hobbit to plant a church, so they found me. I'm just kidding, okay? Anyway. So he took me there with Prophet Larry, you know, so we prayed over the ground. But I want you to know that the hobbits has migrated. So as of now, we are not planning to plant a church in Shire. So Every Nation Shire is not in the plan, okay? But at least, you know, just a little bit update. Okay, let me show you a couple of pictures I was tasked to do. Let me try this, whether it works. All right, that's my family. My wife is here. Teresa, would you stand and, you know, just wave at them. That's my beautiful wife, and she's the only girl that I've ever dated in my life, and so there's no comparison. She's the best, okay? Anyway, I met her while we were in university, and you know, she's the only one I dated, and ever since happily married. We got four children, as you can see. Four of my children, they are all very visible, they are big, which means you can spot them from far. Maybe not in New Zealand, okay, but in Malaysia, okay. My second son, Joash, has to be an islander. He's really big, okay? My first son, Joel, he's 20 years old. Second son, 17. Third son, 14 years old. And my youngest daughter, Joanna, she's 9 years old. Now, let me do a quick introduction of my family. Some of you do not know, but we got married. We're happily married, and we decided to have children. So, as being a Chinese, so we plan it well. So we plan it every 3 years, we have a child. So we had the first one, we had the second one, we had the third one, all 3 years apart. After the third one, we decided to stop. That means we did everything medically possible to stop. Okay? But 5 years later, God told us, you've got to continue to make disciples. So we make the fourth one, okay? And there came Joanna, all right? And she is the queen of the house. She is, she's a Joanna, she's a Moana, she's everything, okay? But she rules the house, okay? But we are so glad to have all four of them, all right? Very quickly, let me just go on. We just gotten our new premise. It's a hall not as big as this, but I seat about 700 or 750 people. It's theater style and equipped with production. In fact, this weekend, we are having a big production right now. And if you ever come to Malaysia, and I want to invite all of you, you know, everywhere I go, I tell people this. Whenever you go to a nation where there's an Every Nation Church, your trip or your tour to that nation is incomplete until you visit the Every Nation Church. Come on, okay, good amen. All right, so if you come to Kuala Lumpur, you might have seen the tower, you might have seen the Twin Tower, you might have met the president or the prime minister or the king or whatever, but if you have not come to Every Nation Church Malaysia, you have not completed your tour, okay? So please make sure you come there. And some of you do know that I do own restaurant, okay? You know, Monopoly, okay? Anyway, you know, some of the words that... Anyway, so if you come to my church, you are not happy with the preaching, I guarantee I'll feed you with a good meal, okay? So that I can guarantee, all right? Okay, now, I want to just bring across, you know, every movement, there are words that describe a movement. For our movement, the word discipleship, it's a big word, okay? Discipleship comes from two words, disciple and sheep, just like... I got a pen, No, I got an apple. Okay, it's two words together. Okay, anyway. So disciple is there. It's two words combined together. Disciple is just who you are. Discipleship simply means the process of producing disciple. Are you with me? Okay. So discipleship is a big word. And every one of us that believes in discipleship must take a good grip on this verse, Matthew chapter 28. So I'm going to take you beyond John 3:16. Okay. Now, I believe it is not just a movement concept. It is really a biblical mandate. The more you take a grip on that particular passage, Matthew 28, the better you're able to chart your life. The better you're able to think and live strategically. The more you're convicted of this verse. It is so important. So every year, I try to take a fresh look and a fresh angle to this verse. Okay, now, can we read together this verse? All right, one, two, go. Baptizing name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, Matthew chapter 28 is the last verse of the entire book of Matthew. I once read a theologian who wrote about this verse, and I love his angle, because his angle was Matthew 28, the last verse that was placed in the entire book of Matthew was placed strategically as an author. In fact, if you look through all the other gospel, Mark 16, almost the last portion, talk about the Great Commission. John chapter 20, almost the last portion, talk about the Great Commission. Luke 24 is the same. When you look through the entire gospel, every one of them talk about the Great Commission at the end. You know, in life, how many of you love movies? Okay? So few of you. Wow. Okay. Anyway, if you like movies, isn't it true that for movies, it is only at the end you realize the truth, or you only in the ending you found out who is the enemy or who is the good guy? Am I correct? Okay. It is in the ending where everything ties together. The book of Matthew, the Great Commission, has that little concept. It's the whole Great Commission that ties the book of Matthew's together. So if you do not grasp the Great Commission as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I think you miss out in a lot of things. Now, if you study Great Commission carefully, Jesus post-resurrection, after he was resurrected, did you know that the Bible tells us that Jesus appeared for about 10 to 12 times? If you combine all the four Gospels and work through chronologically, and that's a good exercise that you want to do, and you will find that Jesus appeared anywhere from 10 to 12 times. He appeared in the dinner table, he appeared in the mountain at least twice, one at Mount Galilee, which is the one where he gave Matthew 28, one at Mount Olive, which is Acts 1:8, where he gave them, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and there are so many instances that Jesus appeared. Right after resurrection, Jesus only did three things to the disciples. Number one, he comforted them that he's still alive. And you can study when he wrote to Emmaus, the two disciples, when he met Mary, his mom, when he met Mary Magdalene, when he met the disciple, he just only comforted them that he's still alive. Number two, the second thing that he did was he showed them the scripture who he is. So he worked through from them all the way through the laws, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, all the way, and helping them to grasp scripturally who he is as a resurrected Christ. And number three, all he did was he talked about Great Commission. That's all Jesus did right after resurrection. And he just came. You know why? Because Great Commission is so important. Now, I want you to know that as this movement, we must be people who are so bothered about discipleship. Can I go to amen? We must be people who are so bothered to make disciples, because Jesus asks us to make disciples. So you can make good music, you can make great album, you can make great conference, you can make great material, but if you fail to make disciples, you fail to make disciples as per what Christ has asked you. You know, I've always used this example. Every time, I talk about discipleship, me and my wife, we take a trip to New Zealand. Prior, before we take a trip, we will typically look at our children and we'll tell them the things that we wanted them to do. We will tell them that, Joel, would you finish your scholarship application? Joash, please don't eat so much. Jaden, please study, do your math. And Joanna, please do not terrorize your brother, okay? So we will give our final words. Am I correct? Now, what do you think? When we go back from New Zealand and then Sydney back to Malaysia, we're going to show them the goodies. We're going to show them Hobbiton. We're going to show them Pastor Richard's face, Taulu's face. You know, we're going to show them all the nice things that we experienced. But ultimately, at some point, what do you think the question that we're going to pop up? We're going to look at Joanna and say, did you finish your scholarship application? Joash, did you reduce your food intake? All right. Jaden, did you do your math? Joanna, are you the sweet little princess, that beauty and the beast? Were you beauty or were you beast? All right. Am I correct? Okay. Now, at some point, I'm going to ask that question. Am I correct? Right. Now, when Jesus left, he says, go make disciples. One of the things that Jesus is going to ask you when you come back, when he comes back, is he's going to ask you, did you make, he's not going to ask you, did you make album? He's going to ask you, did you make disciples? Of course, if you make album that can make disciples, that's great. But make discipleship is the ultimate goal. Now, so this is what we have done. We have taken the word of Jesus, and sometimes I feel we make songs about it. We sing about the Great Commission. We do a nice poster about Great Commission. We do a drama on Great Commission. We memorize on Great Commission, but we don't do the Great Commission. It's almost like when I went back home, my children said, hey, Papa, you know what? I didn't apply scholarship, but I make a poem out of it. Right? Joash said, you know, Papa, I didn't eat a lot of food, but you know what? I make a song out of it that I should eat less food. The bottom line, the $1 million question every Christian, every pastor, every leader needs to ask is, are you making disciples? Now, this is what we are trying to say in this conference. For discipleship to stick, for it to stay in us, for it to be part of us, it takes two things. In this movement, we call it the power of discipleship and the form of discipleship. Would you say together? The power and the form. All right, now, yesterday night, Pastor Scott was home run. He was just excellent, okay? He just bring down the conviction, the power of discipleship to change lives and all those stuff. In that message, I'm not too sure whether you realize, but there is a fine thread that ties everything together, which is the relationship that he has, the relationship that he had with the students, the relationship that he had with his Pastor Katsumi, the relationship that he had with a girl that became one of the church planters. I mean, it's because relationship is discipleship, or discipleship is relationship, you know. Pastor Joey always say that. Now, my job today is to talk about the form of discipleship. I call that the software of discipleship. It's really the power. The hardware of discipleship is really the form of discipleship. Okay, now let me just move on. I just want to make sure it. Okay, now when you deal with the form of discipleship, you're dealing with a couple of things. Number one, you're dealing with structure. Number two, you're also dealing with processes. How many of you are familiar with the four E's? Okay, now would you say that together? And power, all right, that's the 4E, that's the four processes. In form, you talk about the tools. What tools are you? So you got 1-to-1, you got Purple Book, you got Victory Weekend, you know, you got your DNA book, you got your church membership book. I mean, those are all the tools. And then you also talk about the saying that you created, one wins one, discipleship is relationship. You know, every one of us have that little saying. Now, all this can be formed because they are the structure, they are the tools, they are the processes, they are the saying to bring out what we need to remember about discipleship. Are you with me? Okay, now, our struggle is this, okay? Sometimes, all this form, which is very powerful, all this form can obstruct us from really doing discipleship, because sometimes we spend most of the time trying to form the form. Okay, so we argue about, you know what, should we call it coach? Should we call it zone supervisor? Should we call it, a sub leader? What should we call it? And we spend so much time. Or we spend so much time talking about, you know, 4 E's is not enough. We need 5 E's. We need 6 E's. We need 7 Q. We need 10 Z. We need, you know what I'm saying? We are trying to, wow, you know, we had so much thoughts put in it. All the tools, we are trying to import these tools and borrow that tools and purpose-driven life a little bit, build Hybels, Willow Creed a little bit, Every Nation Church Malaysia a little bit, hallelujah, okay? And then, you know, you're trying to borrow all those things and you're trying to walk through, you're trying to copy saying and you found this and you like that. Sometimes we spend all this, but all this are form. Okay, now let me give you the concept of form very quickly, biblically. 2 Timothy 3 talk about in the last days. Let me move on to this verse that's after describing. He says that all these people having a, come on, form of godliness and denying its power. Now, how many of you have met people who look the part, smell the part, talk the part, but it's not the part? All right, you know, I remember this one time I was playing table tennis and I went for a table tennis competition and there walks in a young man. I mean, he had Nike shoes, you know, Adidas pants. I mean, he had everything. I'm seriously, he had a tracksuit and, you know, he had the band, you know what I mean? He had everything. The moment he took out his bat, all right, his table tennis bat. And the moment I saw him make the first swing, the bat almost came out from his hand. You know, when people are playing game, have you seen people who eat rice like that? Okay? Have you seen people who eat rice like that? You have never, right? It's extravagant. I mean, they make it so difficult. The way he plays table tennis, he made playing table tennis painful. I mean, when he swing, he almost swing his whole body. So at some point, I turned to my teammate. I said, you know what? That bat, I bet you, is going to fly at some point. And true enough, at some point when he had a swing, the whole bat fell. You know what? Sometimes we have the form, but denying its power. The form means you look the part, you say the part. Absolutely, there is no heart in it. You know, we have a very sad story. One of our life group leaders, because every week you got live group meet, am I correct? All right, so you meet in a home and all those things. So anyway, so they met, and what happened was one of the members didn't come. So he gave him a call, just to illustrate to you the form. He gave this member a call. He said, hey, how come I didn't see you last weekend, you know, and are you coming this weekend? Then the person said, oh, you know what, my mom is actually in the hospital. She is very sick right now. So the leaders, they say, oh, really, really? Okay, I'm so sorry, you know, all those things. You know how he ended the conversation? He ended by saying, hey, by the way, are you still coming for next week? Instead of caring, instead of saying, hey, you know, can I visit your mom? Because he has the form, but denying its power. All right, now, so what happened to form? Form can take two journeys. Oh, what happened? All right, it can either transform or it can deform. We want form that transform. Now, to help you to do that, very quickly, I have no time, but to help you to do that, form that transform, the route of transformation has three things. Whatever processes you do, you've got to ask yourself three questions. Is it simple? I mean, does everybody know? Can everybody remember? Is it simple? Does it provide steps? Was it strategic? Was that a strategic concept? Did it introduce steps for people? How many of you would agree? It takes steps for me to get to the exit. Am I correct? Which is easier, to jump to the exit or take steps to the exit? Take steps. So always create steps in the way you think. The four is trying to create steps. Now, just to help you to understand what I'm trying to say, let me give you an example. In this movement, we use the word engage all the time. Now, I have often had people who ask me this question, Pastor, I do not know how to engage. Am I correct? People say, yeah, I know, you're telling us to engage, but I just do not know how to engage. So in the past, we have created three words to help people to engage. Okay, we have created three words, and the three words are, which you say together, include, invest, invite. Come on, say it together again. Include, invest, invite. Now, so we consistently, we repeat this, include, invest, invite. Consistently, we repeat the stories of including, investing, and inviting. So what we tell people is this. Now, why was the word include very important? It was simple, it was steps, and it was strategic. You know why? Because one of the biggest bottleneck that we couldn't do Great Commission is... it's because when you become a Christian, after 2 to 3 years, your friends that is outside your circle all shrink. All the friends that you used to have, they are either all Christians or you are so busy with church activities, you have no time for your friends. So your friendship really shrink. In my house, my wife looks like, she is a Christian, okay? My wife is a Christian, my children is a Christian, my pastor is a Christian, my office staff is a Christian. Everybody is a Christian. So sometimes we become so exclusive. So I always tell the church, you just need to draw a bigger circle of social life. And you just need to include. So you, the more inclusive you are, the better. Just include the aunties, include someone who sells noodles, include someone who makes pao, include someone, you know what I'm saying? Just always include. And then we tell them this. We tell them to invest. And people say, Pastor, what to invest? You know what? There are three words the Bible says. For God has not given us a spirit of... oh, sorry, let me go back before I tell the story. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I always tell people this, okay? If you do not know how to invest, you invest in three things. You invest in the love of God. Learn to love people. Number two, you invest in the power of God. Learn to pray for people. Number three, you invest in sound mind. You learn to engage with people. That's what you need to do. Now, isn't it true that every one of you that come to know Christ, you either come through one of this route. You either come to know Christ because someone loved you unconditionally, or you come to know Christ because you met with a miracle that changed your life, or you come to know God because someone makes sense for the gospel for the first time and you embrace Christ. Isn't it true? Or a combination of all three. The Bible says the Spirit of God empowers you to do all that. And we tell people, you just consistently invest. Invest the love of God, invest a sound mind, and at some point, you invite them to church. Now, this is what we do. Now, so what we consistently do to help the form to transform, we will repeat that again and again, and we tell stories after stories about that. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story of this is Abel. This is Xiao Qing, okay? Abel is a new Christian. Xiao Qing just accepted Christ in the month of February or March. We led them to Christ, okay? Now, Abel came to our church about somewhere July to August last year. He's a new Christian. He heard about our church. He came to our church. He doesn't know anything about God. No one has done follow-up with him. So he's a new Christian. He came to our church, and one day I met him. He came to me and says, Pastor, I really enjoy the church, and I just say thank you. He's somewhat like a businessman, okay? Young entrepreneur. So I look at him. I say, Abel, I said, are you new to church? He says, yes. I said, you believe in Jesus? Yes, yes, Pastor, I'm a new Christian. I said, wow. I said, you're so good-looking. You must have a girlfriend. She said, yes. I said, where is she? She said, oh, she's not here. I said, why don't you bring her? He said, no, Pastor, cannot. He says, if I tell her that I'm a Christian, she's going to flip. She's not going to be my girlfriend. She hates Christianity. I said, oh. I said, you are one of those ninja Christians. you know ninja Christian? You know, ninja Christians are those that who, you don't know them. Sometimes they come, they slip into the church, they slip out, and then, you know, sometimes you walk around, you pick up your t-shirt, oh, that's a track. Who? Ninja Christian. Okay, so, you know what I'm saying? They suddenly drop a verse on your bag, they suddenly, you open on computer, you know, the saving screen there has a Christian word, God loves you, you know? Who did that? I don't know, ninja Christian. Okay, so I told him, I said, you must be a ninja Christian. Then he was laughing. I said, no. I said, listen. I said, you know what? If God is so powerful in your life, you want to share his love to your girl. So I encouraged her. I said, would you invite her one day to church? I said, this is what you invite her for a good dinner and tell her the changes in your life and tell her that you have become a Christian. So I said, okay, Pastor, I'll try. So he gave me a date and I encouraged him. And then he broke the news to the girl that he became a Christian. The girl was upset. But, you know, never mind, you know, he's rich and anyway, so The girl stayed with him. Okay, anyway, good looking, okay? So I moved on. During Christmas, he said, Pastor, he said, no, close to Christmas, in the month of December, he said, Pastor, my girlfriend is coming to church today. I said, great, I'm going to meet her. So he brought her to church, and I was preaching, and she came, and she shook my hand, and, you know, we just carried a couple of conversation, and then I said, hey, hope one day, you know, include. So I said, hey, one day, let's have a cup of coffee and all those. In the month of December, before Christmas, I received a call. And from him, he says, Pastor, he says, my girlfriend wants to meet you because, by the way, she's a lawyer. And she said, and he said that my girlfriend has a whole bunch of questions that she's going to ask you. And she wants to outwit you, you know, she wants to affiliate, you know, all those things, you know, she wants to outwit you about this. I said, sure. So we caught up over a cup of coffee in a small little, you know, restaurant. Okay, anyway, we sat down. And first of all, I asked her, I heard that you were unhappy with Christianity, you're a little bit. So she told me the entire story, just her bad experience. I apologized on her behalf. I said, I'm so sorry, it's not meant to be like that. That's not who God is. I apologized to her. Then she asked me all kinds of questions, and I answered them. And just before we left, I noticed that she had a little bit of skin disease. So we stood up, I said, Xiao Qing, I said, can me and my wife just pray for you? I noticed there's a little bit. She said, okay, we prayed for her, and then we left. You know, I was a happy man because when we left, I felt I did better than the lawyer. I felt whatever question she asked me, I make sense. So I text Abel. I said, Abel, I said, you know, how was the conversation? I said, did I answer Xiao Qing's question? She said, Pastor, excellent. You know, you did. She walked away fulfilled with the answer. And then she said, but you know what? What she was most impressed was when you took time to pray for her. Include, invest, invite. It's as simple as that. So I said, wow, you know, I thought I was Ravi Zacharias and William Lane Craig and, you know, Nabi Kushi, all that. I was like, wow. It was just that little prayer. Wish my wife is the one that prayed. Okay, anyway. So in the month of January or so, she called me again. She says, Pastor, I've got another round of questions to ask. Then we met up again. Again, she has a whole bunch of questions and, you know, we tried to answer them. You know, we had a great conversation. In the month of February, this is right after Chinese. So I was saying, hey, you know, maybe it's time to catch up again whenever you are free. And then she said, oh, yeah, Pastor, I really, really want to catch up with you this time. On the third time, we met up. We said, before the third meeting, this is what happened, okay? When I was engaging with her, I told her, and this is what I tell everybody that wanted to discover God, I tell them this, give yourself 3 months to discover God. If God doesn't make sense, move on. Try Mormon, try Buddhism, try, you know, whatever, but at least give yourself 3 months. Within these 3 months, I need you to do 3 things. Read the Bible, talk to God, come to church. Read the Bible, talk to God, come to church. And then, you know, you engage. So she was so in need that every time when she couldn't make it to church, she will text me. See, nobody in my church does that, only her. So when you come to Malaysia, when you meet her, don't tell her that. She doesn't know. So every time she couldn't make it, she said, Pastor, this weekend I'm traveling. So sorry, because of my work, I have to be in Singapore. I'll see you next week. I can say thank you. Yeah, that's very good. Okay. All the new people who are discovering God do that all the time. Pastor, so sorry, I can't make it this weekend. You know what? Anyway, so she has been coming. On the third time, the third meet that we had, which is the month of February, we sat down. I said, Xiao Qing, I said, any other question? She says, Pastor, no more question. I look at her, I said, Xiao Qing, then I have one question. I said, would you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord? On that night at a coffee shop, me and my wife led her to Christ. You know, the story doesn't stop there. Abel, right now, new Christian. Oh, sorry. Oh, this is the other one. This is the monk story, okay? Abel, right now leads 2 discovery group, whole bunch of his friends about Jesus Christ. Last night, while I went back home, he just texted me, one of his friends just accepted Christ. and he is having two discovery group, about 12 to 16 of them, and a whole bunch of young people are discovering God. Doing the same thing, include, invest, invite. It's as simple as that. For form to move into transform, you need to model it. You need to consistently repeat again and again and again. You know, one of the young men that accepted Christ, and you know, I always tell them three things you do, all right? You talk to God, you read the Bible, and you come to church. One of the young men that accepted Christ about 2-3 years ago, he had this similar experience. I said, okay, that's what you do, okay? Simple. One day, he needs to travel for about an hour between his house and where the girlfriend is. So anyway, he was fetching the girlfriend. On the way back, the car battery died. Now, this guy doesn't know God. So all of a sudden, he said, oh yeah, pastor said, talk to God. So his car was shaking, the light was flickering, the battery was dying. So he cried out, he says, God, if you are there, help me to reach home. So an hour, he says, the car was jerking. He says, the car stopped exactly in front of the guardhouse. And then he says, pastor, I don't know why the car didn't stop in front of my house, but my guardhouse. I said, do you think it's because I haven't become a Christian? I said, that's obvious. So he became one. Okay. Anyway, the last story was just a quick one. The last story was someone who has dedicated to be a monk for 20 over years. He owned his temple in Sri Lanka. He has invested in that. He's known throughout all the monks. He's you know, but recently he came to know the Lord. This was the picture when he burned away a car load of all his monk identification, his clothes, his books, the number of charms, and I mean, just, you know, and to see him crossing that line. You know why? Because someone in our church do include, invest, invite. He was a friend of our church member who was in a master class together, and he found out he was a monk. He says, hey, you know, why don't you come to me to church? So he invited him to church. And at some point, I jump in, help him through the whole comparison about monk and Christianity and just work through that. You know, it took him really a long time. But he was recently water baptized, everything. And last night he texted me, pastor, please tell everybody what I was and what I am right now. And the best thing was this. He is trying to do include, invest, invite. He went back to the chief monk. Seriously. So I told him, I said, could you do, you want to try to do alpha in the, you know the alpha course? Discovery God. I said, why don't you talk to a chief monk whether you can do alpha in the temple? That's the most outrageous thought. I said, okay. So the chief monk said, you can do everything except doing alpha in there, okay? So anyway, he has brought his fellow friends, monk, to our church and all those things. You know what? For form to transform, it's not complicated. Make it simple, make it step, make it strategy. Okay, good amen?
Amen.
All right, why don't we stand, okay? All right, let's pray. All right, this is what I want you to do, okay? Now, I want the word discipleship to land in your heart, in your spirit, in your being, in every, let the Great Commission drives you. Let the Great Commission leads you. Lord, I just pray this morning, oh God, Lord, that let there be another conviction into our hearts for the Great Commission. Help us to take whatever forms that we have developed. Help us to think how to take that to not just be a saying, but that to be something that transforms our entire culture of the church and of this movement. Lord, I pray that every one of us make disciples full of conviction and seeing, oh God, Lord, the power of relationship and the power of the form of discipleship changing one life after another. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.